Welcome back to Upstate's Health Link on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, cardiovascular disease, including heart attack and stroke, remains the nation's number one killer of men and women, causing more than 36% of all deaths. But with the advent of the class of drugs that can lower your cholesterol, known as statins, there exists a weapon in this battle against heart disease. And joining me this morning as part of our Public Health Today series is an expert on this very subject. Dr. John LaRose's career as a teacher, researcher, and senior administrator has spanned 42 years, during which he has engaged in some of the seminal work in the study of these cholesterol-lowering drugs, both at the National Institutes of Health and later at George Washington University. He has held a variety of distinguished positions, including serving as the chancellor of the medical center at Tulane University and as the president of Downstate Medical Center for the last 13 years, where he's currently a full-time professor of medicine and public health. Dr. LaRose has published 250 scientific articles and has appeared as a cholesterol expert on The Today Show, Nightline, and Charlie Rose, just to name a few. He's here with us in Syracuse to address the Upstate Medical University community, and we're quite fortunate to have him take some time out of his very busy schedule to talk to us. Welcome, Dr. LaRose. Thanks for coming in today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So, just to begin with, there's been so much talk. I mean, every time you turn the television on, you have ads for different kinds of cholesterol-lowering drugs. These are all called statins, I guess, is their generic term. Help us understand what they are and what they do.
Well, statins are one form of drug. There are a number of different drugs that lower cholesterol. So they've been around for the last 30 or 40 years. Statins are the newest and the most powerful drugs, and the ones that actually we have the most experience with. And what they do basically is to accelerate, to speed up the breakdown of circulating cholesterol. And the cholesterol in particular that is carried in the blood in the fraction we call LDL, it's called low-density lipoprotein, that is most likely to get deposited in the walls of blood vessels. Until we had statins, it was really an uphill battle to lower cholesterol levels. With these drugs, there's been just a sea change in our ability to manage cholesterol levels. And as a result, we're seeing dramatic declines in coronary disease and in stroke as well.
So the LDL, which is the one that tends to stick to your blood vessels, is the quote-unquote bad cholesterol.
Correct.
So tell us a bit about what is the HDL, or the good cholesterol, and what does it mean?
Well, HDL is a lot harder for us to understand. In general, HDL appears to be the fraction of cholesterol that represents the body's capacity to remove cholesterol from places where it shouldn't be. So the more HDL you have, the more efficiently you keep cholesterol out of the walls of blood vessels where it can cause trouble.
So it actually does it's the body's way of doing what the statins help. The LDL.
In a way, that's true, although statins don't have much effect on HDL. But the body tries very hard to remove cholesterol from places where it shouldn't be, including the walls of blood vessels. And we think HDL is the agent for that. It also has other effects, which may be important, but which we're not so clear about. It interferes with inflammation, and part of the reaction in the arteries, in the walls of the arteries, is an inflammatory reaction to the LDL that gets stuck there. So it helps in that way, too.
And getting rid of inflammation is critical in a lot of disease entities, I would think.
It is, although you have to be very careful, because inflammation is also a very important bodily reaction that we have to foreign bodies, to infections,
right,
and things
so
like that.
So our immune system requires...
Right.
That kind of response. So there's so many different kinds of drugs out there under the term statins. What makes them different? I mean, I'll mention a couple of the classic names like Lipitor, Zocor, Mevacor, Pravacol, Crestor. I mean, I know they have different chemical compositions. How are they different?
Well, they're not, actually. They're different in terms of their potency. Crestor, or rosuvastatin, and Lipitor, or atorvastatin, are the statins that are most powerful per milligram in terms of lowering LDL cholesterol levels. And they're also the newest, the ones that have, the development of statins has been, the first statins were relatively weaker than the later drugs. And the later drugs are preferable because you get more bang from the buck, essentially. But it's also true that the more potent statins are somewhat more likely to have side effects, although the side effect level from statins is so low that it's not an exaggeration to say statins in general are safer than aspirin for most people.
I want to talk about side effects in a second, but sure. I want to make a clarification here because I know for years there was always this thought that you don't want to eat things that have cholesterol, where in fact, isn't that kind of a misconception? Isn't it that fat, eating fat is what creates the cholesterol in the body?
Not quite. Dietary cholesterol itself usually comes along with saturated fat, which is another chemical. And they usually come along together in animal tissue.
So it's animal tissue
right.
in general.
We are the only primates who are carnivorous. And that's not out of a difference in metabolism from other primates. It's out of something that happened somewhere in our evolution. We became aware of the fact that meat, saturated fat, has more calories per gram than other foods. And in order to survive, we learned to eat meat because otherwise we were prey, after all. You know, many animals were after us. So the intake of animal fat is very important in what our blood cholesterol levels are.
But is it necessary for a balanced diet?
No, it actually
is not.
You can live perfectly well on a well-balanced vegetarian diet.
And thereby avoiding the whole issue.
Probably for most people, avoiding the whole issue. There are some genetic variabilities that make some people unable to break down LDL very efficiently. But for the most part, it's related to our diet.
So on what basis do you make a decision as a physician in counseling someone or telling someone or in your vast experience as to when they should begin to use a statin drug?
Well, this is the subject of very complex and very much debated guidelines, which are constantly being revised. But in general, if your cholesterol is high, now right now high is defined as a cholesterol over 200 milligrams per deciliter. It's the way we express
total.
It, total cholesterol. Then you're considered to be at risk because of a cholesterol that might promote trouble for you.
And again, laying down these plaques.
Exactly. But laying down those plaques is also related to whether you smoke. Smokers are more likely. Whether you're diabetic, whether you're overweight, whether you have high blood pressure.
Family history, perhaps.
Family history. And many things that we don't know and are still learning. So what a normal cholesterol is very difficult to say, and that's what a lot of the debate is about. It's not the average cholesterol. The average cholesterol in the United States is 50 to 100 points higher than the average cholesterol in parts of Africa or China or Japan. So average really isn't the right way to express it. You can have everybody, most people in the United States have cholesterols that are high enough to promote the growth of atheroma and blockages in blood vessels.
So that, therefore, they would be good candidates in many cases, or in most cases, for the use of something like a statin.
Well, we always like to try life habits first.
Give us some examples.
Well, don't smoke. Don't gain weight. Exercise regularly. If you have high blood pressure, have it treated. If you're diabetic, learn about it and have your blood sugar treated. But in fact, what we do is kind of lower what we consider the cholesterol, the highest cholesterol that you should have by how many other risk factors you have. If you have none of those risk factors, you can probably tolerate a cholesterol a little bit higher. And then the threshold for starting a drug may be a little bit higher.
So that should go into the calculation, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, and it always does. Physicians know to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that sounds like, in some cases, there can be side effects. Now, you pointed out earlier that it has very few side effects
right.
in the general population, but are there, what kind of side effects have you seen or know about?
The most common side effect with statins is some kind of muscle discomfort, sometimes leading, in extreme cases, to breakdown of muscle, sometimes just being related to pain, particularly to pain in muscles close to the center of the body, the upper legs, the upper arms. And sometimes that can be very severe. It occurs in, estimates vary, but maybe 5 to 15% of people that take statins.
So they have myalgias?
Yeah, they have muscle pain. It was something we really didn't appreciate when we were testing statins, because we don't know why exactly, but doctors in their offices saw a lot more of it than we saw in the clinical trials that we were doing to see whether the drugs would be effective or not. For most people, finding one of the statins that doesn't give them that effect is enough. For some people, these effects are very severe and they can't take the drug. And there are probably 2 to 5% of people who start statins who really just don't tolerate them and can't take them.
So they really then would have to make these very significant lifestyle changes. And are there any other things that they can do?
Well, there are other drugs, older drugs. Statins are far and away the safest and the easiest to take. But there are other cholesterol-lowering drugs. And there are many drugs now being developed that work by a completely different mechanism than statins that will, I think many of them will, come to market probably, though, in several years' time.
That's exciting to know.
It is very exciting.
Yeah. It also strikes me that the use of statins in large quantities will really have a long-term effect on, as you said, the incidence of heart disease and stroke going forward. I mean...
Right. That's a blessing and a curse at the same time. We have to be extra careful with anything that we know patients are going to take for the better part of a lifetime.
In what way? Tell me.
Well, I mean, we have to be very comfortable that they're not going to have side effects over a period of decades that develop. We have to be very careful that we don't don't put people in a position where we're cavalier about giving them. These are drugs, and any drug that you take for a lifetime, you have to be very careful about. People that have epilepsy, people that have diabetes. When you have drugs that are going to be given over a long period of time, we have to pay a lot of attention to safety, we do.
It seems to me you have the issue of drug-drug interaction potentially, but also in the aging process, the body changes.
Right.
And there may be different effects, therefore, that occur relative to the use of that kind of drug.
But that's a really important point for statins, because aging is the single most powerful predictor of coronary artery disease.
Meaning
that you can become more susceptible as you get older, or you've accumulated enough plaque as you get older, and statins therefore become much more relevant to treatment the older you get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ideally, you shouldn't wait, and we think probably the ideal time to start statins would be somewhere in middle age in order to prevent disease later. But you can make a pretty good case that if you don't have any troubles otherwise, if you're over 65, you probably ought to be on a statin.
Well, so much to talk about. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I want to thank you. My guest has been Dr. John LaRosa. He's professor of medicine and public health at Downstate Medical Center. He's teacher, researcher, and senior administrator, and an expert in cholesterol and heart disease. Thanks again, Dr. LaRosa.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
Please stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on air.